Attention, pilots, for Uncle Ned's squadron. Stand by, pilot, because here he is, your commanding officer, Uncle Ned.
Hi, pilots! Say, co-pilot Downs, this is some gang we have in the WMAQ ready room this morning. Yes, sir, Den 4 of Pack 228 of the Cub Scouts from Morton Grove, Illinois is here. And you know something, co-pilot Downs? Yesterday morning at 11:45 in a snowstorm, I was flying a Beechcraft Bonanza right over Morton Grove, headed for the Chicago airport. Yes, sir. And it was snowing there, too. And you know, the Buffalo Patrol of Troop 871 in Chicago, the Boy Scouts are here, and Pack 62 Den 9 from Wheaton, Illinois. Oh, that's good. So all you pilots at home and in the ready room should pay real special attention to the story for today. It's about a famous pilot and one of his greatest flights. Say, you know, I wish I could hear you pilots at home. I'll bet you yell right out with the answers to some of our questions. Well, even if I can't hear you, I know that you can answer most of them. And I'll be glad when our two phone calls come in today so I can talk with two alert cadet pilots. Oh, I sure hope they each win an aeroplane. Say, I wonder how many cadet pilots in the ready room have had a ride in an aeroplane. How many of you have?
Well, right here, Uncle Ned, I've got a young man named Paul Emmert who has had a ride.
He has?
I found that out before the show.
Well, good. Well, Paul Emmert, what's your address? Where do you live?
909 North Cambridge.
What kind of an aeroplane did you have a ride in?
A four-motor.
A four-engine aeroplane? A DC-4 or a DC-6, I suppose.
Yes.
Where did you go?
Portland, Oregon.
Way out to Portland. How high did you fly, do you know? Huh?
No, I don't think
so. Well, I'll bet you were up about 20,000 feet, and I'll bet it had a pressurized cabin in it and everything else. Did you enjoy the trip?
Yes.
Oh, that's swell. Say, wouldn't it have been fine if you could have gone up in the front, right up there in the office, and watched those pilots?
Yes, sir.
You saw them once in a while when they opened the door, I'll bet.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm glad you had a nice time, and you come back and see us again, will you?
We got a young lady, too, Uncle Ned.
Oh, fine. A lady pilot. Yes. And what's your name?
Elaine Erickson.
Elaine, where are you from?
Chicago, Illinois.
Where did you take your aeroplane trip?
Well, I was out on my vacation in North Dakota, and my uncle gave me a ride in his airplane.
Your uncle is a pilot, huh? Oh, that's swell. Well, what kind of an aeroplane does he have?
I don't know just what kind it is. It's not too big.
It isn't too big. It's a small personal-type aeroplane. Well, where'd you fly? What did you do?
Well, he just took us over and seen the view from the airplane.
I see, over the farm and everything. Did you notice how small those houses and buildings look?
Yes.
And the animals, they look like little toys.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you have, about a 30-minute ride?
Yeah.
Oh, that's swell. Well, I'll bet you had a lot of fun, didn't you?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. And the next time you have another ride, you keep track of what happened so you can come down and tell me about it, will you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, we only fly model planes here in the WMAQ ready room, but one of these days we're going to make a special announcement about how our cadet pilots can win a ride in a real aeroplane for yourself and your folks. So you'd better become a cadet pilot and listen in each Saturday.
This is F-74 to UNS Control Tower. F-74 to UNS Control Tower, over.
This is Uncle Ned in UNS Control Tower. Go ahead, F-74.
F-74 to Uncle Ned. F-74 to Uncle Ned. What's the mission for the week? What's the mission for the week?
All pilots, stand by. The mission for the week is be loyal. Loyalty is a wonderful thing. Our great country is built on loyalty. You know, you can be loyal in many ways. We're all loyal to our country, and our loyalty is a small way of showing appreciation for all the splendid things we get from our country. Loyalty should start in the home. You must be loyal to your parents, to your brothers and sisters. Show your affection for them and your respect for them by being loyal to them. Stick up for them. You must be loyal to your friends, too, and to your school and teachers. Loyalty is priceless. You can't buy it anywhere. It must come from your heart. Your pockets may be empty, but if your heart is filled with loyalty, then you're indeed rich. Pilots, remember this mission all your life. It's be loyal. Pilots, what's the mission for the week?
Be loyal!
Yes, sir.
Well, all the cadet pilots seem to be here or listening at home, Uncle Ned. Don't you think it's time now that we do a little hangar flying?
Well, good suggestion, co-pilot Downs. And you know all good pilots like hangar flying. When it's cold or the weather is bad, they gather around in the ready room and talk about flying, about their planes, and about ways to keep flying the safe kind of transportation and sport that it is. And today we're going to talk about de-icer boots, where they're located and what purpose they serve. Almost all the military planes and airliners have de-icer boots. They're made out of flexible rubber sheets that have elastic tubes in them. The de-icer boots are located on the leading edge of the wings. Now remember, the leading edge is the front edge of the wing, and on the leading edge of the tail surfaces. You know that an airplane is in danger when it starts to ice up. When ice forms in the wing and on the empennage of the plane gets heavy and the wing loses lift. Something has to be done to break the ice off. And that's where the de-icer boots come in. Let's pretend that you're flying a big airliner in the winter, and you're flying through bad weather. All at once, your co-pilot notices that ice is formed on the leading edge of the wing. Years ago, this was a serious problem, but it isn't anymore. You simply push a button that forces air pressure into the tubes, the elastic tubes that run under the de-icer boots. The air pressure makes the thin sheet of rubber go up and down. It inflates and deflates. And when the boot goes up and down, the ice that is formed on top of it breaks and blows right off the wing and tail surfaces. You know, sometimes, during certain weather conditions, the de-icer boots have to work all the time, and they do a fine job of keeping the ice off. The de-icer boots are black. And the next time you see a big plane up close, you look for them. You'll see them right where I told you they'd be. Well, let's go over the high points of this talk now. De-icer boots are made of rubber, and you'll find them on the leading edge of the wing and tail surfaces. They're operated by air pressure that's forced into flexible, elastic tubes under the boots. Their purpose is to keep ice from forming on the wings and on the tail, and they're usually black in color. De-icer boots are important to safe flying, so do your best to remember today's discussion while we've been hangar flying. Well, co-pilot Downs, do you suppose we can get some good, sharp pilots up here to ask some questions?
No trouble at all, Uncle Ned. I got a Boy Scout right here.
Well, you sure have, and what's your name?
Philip Collins.
Phil, where do you live?
930 Ainsley Street.
How old are you?
11 and a half.
Say, you sure look snappy in that scout uniform. You bet you do. Did you participate in that hangar flying with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now tell me this. What are de-icer boots made of?
Rubber and elastic.
Well, that's right. They're made of rubber and elastic tubes. You bet you. And, yes, look at that. And will you do this? Will you take this Comet Taylor craft home, build it, and it really flies? You build it after you've done your good turn for the day, have a lot of fun, and after you get it built, bring it down to me and show it to me, will you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for being a sharp pilot.
Another Boy Scout, Uncle Ed.
Oh, say, and he's a sharp-looking one, too. What's your name?
Ned Cowan.
Ned. Well, Ned, how are you? Yes, sirree. How old are you, Ned?
11 and a half.
11 and a half. Are you a Tenderfoot Scout?
Yes, sir.
And that's a boy, and I'll bet you're going all the way up to Eagle, aren't you?
I'll try.
Yeah, and I'll bet you can do it, too. Let's see, you have to have 21 merit badges for an Eagle Scout, don't you?
Well, I'm not too sure about that.
Sure, you've got to have 10 required ones and then 11 of your choice. You have to have 21. Well, you can do it. Now, let's see if you can do this. See if you can tell me what color...
Black.
Well...
Black, black. I listen.
Yes, sir. Well, there's a typical Cub Scout. He listened and he was right on the ball.
Will you do this? Will you take this Hawk Plastic Constellation, our Connie home? You build it. Have a lot of fun. And I'd like to see it after you get it built. Will you bring it back?
Okay.
Fine. Thank you.
He sure took the words right out of your mouth.
Well, he really did. You bet he did.
Here's a young fella.
Hi there, fella. What's your name?
Ronald Weston.
Ronnie, how old are you?
8 and a half.
You're 8 and a half. And where do you live?
4803 South
Laughlin. I see. What school do you go to?
St. Louis
Flyman. Uh-huh. You like aeroplanes?
Yes.
Oh, I'll bet you do. Did you hang or fly with us real good?
Yes.
Well, you know what? I want to give you an aeroplane. You bet I do, but I can only do it if you answer this question for me. What are de-icer boots for? What purpose do de-icer boots serve? Oh, look at everybody in the ready room knows. Now, you've got to know...
For ice.
What do they do?
They take the ice off.
They take the ice off the wings and tail surfaces, absolutely. Well, you do this. After you've helped Mom and Dad around the house, you take this Comet model of a clipper, and you build it and have a lot of fun. Will you do that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for being a good pilot. Do we have another
pilot? Another pilot right here.
Yes, sir. Hi, fellow. What's your name?
Chauncey Bertha.
What is it?
Chauncey Bertha.
Well, Johnny, how old are you?
I'm 12.
You're 12 years old, and where do you live?
I live in 57, 505 East
57. Uh-huh, and what school do you go to?
I go to Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi. Well, you know, I know that you were hangar flying. I noticed that you were hangar flying with us, and so do this for me. Tell me where the de-icer boots are located.
They're located on the tip of the wing.
No, wait a minute. Now, say it real loud. Now, do it over again. Where are the de-icer boots located?
They're located on the wing.
All right, and where else?
And,
De-icer boots are on the wing and...
tail.
And the tail surfaces, yes, sirree! Well, you do this. Look at here. Here's a Comet model Invader, a P-2 Invader, a real fighter plane, a medium bomber. You take it home, build it, and have an awful lot of fun. Okay. Say, that must be our phone call. That must... Yes, sir, I'm going to have to see who we are. Hello? Hello? Operator, this is Uncle Ned of Uncle Ned's Squadron. Do you have a pilot on the line for me? Lee Jensen. Well, fine, put him on. Hello? Who's this? Lee Jensen. Lee, where do you live? South Chicago Street. What town? In Dwight, Illinois. Oh, good. How old are you, Lee? You're 11 years old. Well, this is Uncle Ned in the ready room. Did you hang or fly with us? Oh, good. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and if you answer it, we're going to send you a wonderful model aeroplane. But if you can't answer it, then we're going to have two aeroplanes for the next pilot that can answer the next call. Are you all ready? Okay. How do you start the boots, the de-icer boots, to working? You press a button or pull a lever. That's right. You betcha. And all the cadet pilots in the squadron are mighty glad that you won. Tell me, Lee, have you ever been up in an airplane? You haven't, but you're kind of looking forward to it, I'll bet. Will you do this? The next time you go out near the airport, will you look at a big airplane, a DC-3 or a 4 or a 6 or a Connie or something like that, and you look for those de-icer boots, will you? Okay, fine. Thank you, Lee. Lee Jensen of Dwight, Illinois. Yes, sir.
One other one from this section, Uncle Ned, a Boy Scout again.
Well, good, and I've got a question. You bet I have. What's your name, fella?
Peter Ginley.
And where do you live?
5036 North Kenmore.
Uh-huh. What kind of a scout are you?
I'm a tenderfoot scout.
You're a tenderfoot scout. How long have you been a Boy Scout?
For about a half a year.
Half? Huh?
Oh, about...
Well, quite a little while, anyway.
Yes.
Well, I'll bet it won't be long before you're a second-class scout and then a first-class, and you're going right up the ladder, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
You betcha, and scouting is good for boys. All right, tell me this. What makes the boots, what makes the de-icer boots inflate and deflate?
Air.
Air pressure! Yes, sirree! Air pressure! And you do this. You take this Hawk Plastic Constellation, a 300-mile-an-hour airplane, home and build. And that's a beautiful airplane. Mom's going to let you put it right on the dining room table or the buffet. But you build it after you've done your good turn for the day, won't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Hugh Downs, do you have a little briefing for the pilots?
I sure have, Uncle Ned. Pilots, if you haven't joined the squadron yet, you'd better do it today. As the squadron grows, the surprises will grow, and there'll be lots of ways that you pilots at home can participate in our meetings. We've got some swell things in mind for the members, so be sure that you are a member. And Mom and Dad, we hope that you approve of a program like this for your children. We want it to be good for them. If you do approve of it, Uncle Ned would like a card or letter from you. Your ideas and suggestions will be appreciated and respected. We'd like to have you accompany your children to the ready room whenever you want to and whenever you can. WMAQ is an interesting place to spend a Saturday morning, believe me. Don't let another day go by without joining the squadron, kids. Okay, Uncle Ned, the controls are yours again.
Thanks, Hugh. Pilots, here's something for you if it's your birthday today. From all of us to all of you, whoever you are and wherever you are,
happy birthday!
If your birthday is today, you celebrate it on a great day. November the 11th commemorates the end of World War I. And at 11 o'clock on November the 11th, 1918, the armistice was signed, bringing to an end the worst conflict the world had known to that time. On Armistice Day, we're paying tribute to a democratic ideal of equality and to all the men who gave up their lives to protect that ideal. If you were born on November the 11th, Armistice Day, you were born on a day the world will never forget.
Well, now, Uncle Ned, it looks to me by the clock here in the studio that it's just about story time.
This is the story of Jimmy Mattern, a first-rate pilot. Jimmy Mattern was a famous flyer, and he held several records. In 1933, he was going to fly around the world in an attempt to beat the record that Wiley Post had established. On June the 3rd, 1933, Jimmy Mattern took off from Floyd Bennett Field in New York for Oslo, Norway, the first leg of his trip around the world. The first 1,200 miles of his trip was blessed with good weather, and after checking his position carefully at Newfoundland, he headed out across the deep Atlantic Ocean. He was flying at 8,000 feet, and he remembered that the Weather Bureau in New York had told him to expect icing conditions when he got out over the ocean. In those days, they didn't have de-icer boots on planes, and he knew that if he encountered ice, he'd be in trouble. He climbed up to 11,000 feet, up where he was above the clouds that held the dangerous ice. As evening approached, he saw signs of bad weather ahead. Huge clouds piled high in the sky like big mountains. He put the Lockheed in a climb. He'd have to go over the clouds. The plane did its best, but it couldn't reach the top. Jimmy Mattern had to fly blind through the clouds, and to make matters worse, it was nighttime now. He plunged into the black clouds and hoped for the best. 5 minutes later, sleet was hitting his windshield, and the dangerous ice started to form on the Lockheed. He kept going as long as he could, and when the plane was so heavy it wouldn't stay in the air another minute, he pushed forward on the control wheel and put the plane in a power dive. Down, down to where he hoped he could find warmer air to melt the ice. He shoved the plane down 10,000 feet. And as he did so, he picked up speed. He was going so fast that he felt the plane would pull apart. Down he went, and at 2,000 feet, the ice had melted. Now he had to level out, and he didn't have much time to do it. He could feel the cold waves of the Atlantic reaching for the bottom of the plane as he pulled back hard on the control wheel. As he pulled back on the wheel, he heard a crack that sounded like a cannon going off, and he knew that the strain had caused a wing to crack. Jimmy Mattern looked at the wings. One of them had cracked, but it must have been a small crack because the wings were still holding on. Oh, he said a quick prayer as he wiped the sweat off his face. He might have been up in the ice, but Jimmy Mattern was sweating. By this time, he was down to 300 feet above the ocean, and the water looked black and forbidding. His plane kept fighting ahead, and Jimmy Mattern said a thank you prayer. The ice had disappeared, and the wing was holding. He was still flying on instruments, but if nothing else happened, he thought he could make it. He relaxed, took a big drink of milk, and put his plane in the climb. He wanted more distance between him and the ocean now that the clouds had gone up.
He climbed to 6,000 feet and was cruising along peacefully when, without warning, his engine quit. He was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and his engine had quit him. Jimmy Mattern checked everything he could think of to find the trouble. He pushed and pulled on the throttle frantically, trying to get the engine going. The stubborn engine refused to start, so he put the plane in a shallow glide. He'd stretch his glide as far as he could and stay up as long as he could. He knew it wouldn't be long, though, before he'd hit the black water, and Jimmy Mattern prepared to die. He'd been working the throttle back and forth all the way down, and when he was only a few feet from the ocean, the engine backfired. It backfired so hard the whole plane shook. Again and again it backfired, and suddenly the dead engine had come to life. Jimmy Mattern had been saved from a watery grave. The plane ran smoothly the rest of the trip, so good, in fact, that he didn't even land at Oslo like he'd planned, but went on to Moscow. When he landed at Moscow, he discovered why his engine had quit. A piece of cloth, a small piece, had found its way into the gas line and had plugged it up. By pushing and pulling the throttle, he'd forced the cloth out of the line, enabling the engine to again get fuel. Jimmy Mattern was a good pilot, and he still is. Today, his factory in California is making instruments for pilots and planes, tools that make flying safer and more useful to more people. Jimmy Mattern, a first-rate pilot. Well, co-pilot Downs, let's see if some of these alert pilots can answer some questions.
Here's a young pilot right here, Uncle Ned.
Yes, sir. And he looks like he's going to be a pullback, too. He's a husky boy. What's your name?
Garland Hunter.
How old are you?
13.
13 years old. What school do you go to?
Medea.
Did you listen to that story real close?
Yes, sir.
That story of Jimmy Mattern. All right, tell me this. What happened to one of the wings when Jimmy Mattern pulled out of that dive? Look at those hands in the radio.
Right.
What was it?
Crash.
Yes, sir, the wing crash. You bet. And will you do this? You take this Comet Model P2 Invader home. You build it for me after you've shoveled the walk, because we're going to have some snow one of these days, and you be the chief snow shoveler at your house.
Here's another man anxious for a question, Uncle Dan.
Well, good.
Looks like he can answer.
I'll bet he can. I'm anxious to ask it, too. What's your name?
Frederick Young.
How old are you, Frederick?
12.
You're 12 years old, and where do you live?
1534 West Washburn.
Have you ever been up in an airplane?
Yes, sir.
You haven't. But you listened to that story about Jimmy Mattern, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And believe me, he's a fellow that's been up in an airplane. Oh, he's a great pilot. Tell me this. Why wouldn't Jimmy Mattern's airplane stay up in the air?
The engine has stopped.
What was it?
The engine has stopped running.
No, before that. Before that. Remember, he climbed up
the
to
ice,
11...
The ice was taking it down.
Right. That's right. Yes, sirree. The ice made it so heavy the airplane wouldn't fly. You take this Hawk plastic Constellation home, build it when you have time, and when you build it, after you've built it, bring it down and show it to me, will you? Okay, thank you.
Got a real sharp Cub Scout.
Oh, say, isn't he a good-looking fella? Hi there, little fella with the butch haircut and the blonde hair. What's your name?
Jimmy Cunningham.
Well, Jimmy, where do you live?
15 Northwest Street.
Northwest Street where?
In Wheaton, Illinois.
In Wheaton, Illinois. Well, you know, that's right near St. Charles. I used to land at Benny Howard's airport over there at St. Charles, where he made the fine Howard aeroplanes. I wonder, I wish I would have seen you sometime when I landed there. Maybe I will again, and I'll get a chance to look you up. Tell me this. What did Jimmy Mattern do? What did he frantically do when his engine quit? Remember the engine quit? And he did something, oh, so frantically.
He pulled back the wheel.
Well, no.
The airplane.
No, that was when he went to level out. Oh, look at all those pilots in the ready room trying to answer this. Try for just a little longer.
There's another control. What are you pulling now? No?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'll bet you could have gotten the other ones. I'm sorry. Here comes a boy. Will you come right up here? Yes, sir. Come right up here real quick. What's your name?
Melvin Novick.
And where do you live?
4818 North Hammond.
All right, you tell me. What did he frantically do when his engine quit?
He kept pulling the clutch or whatever it was back and forth.
Well, he kept the... That isn't quite right. I'm sorry. The airplane doesn't have a clutch. You're thinking of a car. That has a clutch. What's your name?
You didn't get the answer.
Oh, Eugene, how old are you?
I'm 12.
You're 12 years old. What did Jimmy Madden frantically do?
He was pushing the throttle.
Yes, sir! He was pushing and pulling on the throttle. Will you do this? You take this Comet Aranca home, build it, and have a lot of fun, will you? Okay. Oh, say, there's another phone call. I'll have to get that phone. Yes, sir. Hello? Operator, this is Uncle Ned. Do you have another pilot for me? Clyde Holmeswell, will you put him on? Hello, Clyde. This is Uncle Ned of Uncle Ned's squadron at WMAQ. How are you? Clyde Holmes, how old are you? 13 years old, and where do you live? Wautoma, Wisconsin. Oh, good. Did you like that story about Jimmy Mattern? All right, tell me this. What caused Jimmy Mattern's engine to stop? A small piece of cloth. You're right. You're 100% right. Listen to those kids in the ready room clapping for you. We're going to send you an airplane. We're going to send you an airplane in the mail this afternoon. Be a real good boy, will you, Clyde Holmes? Do you like airplanes? Oh, swell. If you're ever in Chicago on Saturday morning, stop into the ready room, will you? Okay, thank you, Clyde Holmes. Oh, say, we've got one more question, Hugh.
All right, we got another pilot here on the desk.
Well, good. What's your name?
Ray Hickman.
Ray Hickman. How old are you, Ray?
10.
Where do you live?
1347 Tooley.
Say, you've got a nice husky voice for a 10-year-old boy. You betcha. Tell me this. In what year was the armistice signed that we're celebrating today? In what year? It's kind of a hard question for a 10-year-old boy, but I'll bet you can do it.
Oh, no.
You don't know. Well, you sure gave an awful good try. Here's one more Cub Scout.
Another Cub Scout, he might know.
All right, what's your name?
Dennis Howard.
From where?
Wheaton, Illinois.
All right, Dennis from Wheaton, tell me, what year was the armistice signed that we're celebrating today? Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm going to... You suppose I should tell him?
Might as well tell him.
I'll tell him it was 1918. Well, co-pilot Downs, let's have a sharp pilot come up here and give us the qualification, shall we?
Got the man right here. His name's Jerry Cohen, Uncle Ned.
Jerry Cohen. Jerry, how old are you?
11 and a half.
You're 11 and a half. Can you tell me? Where do you live?
919 Argyle.
All right. Can you tell me, from memory, the qualifications for membership in Uncle Ned's squadron?
Obeys established authority. Observes the rules of health. Promotes safety in the air and on the ground. Keeps self clean and alert. Accomplishes every mission.
Well, say, you're just 100% right. Yes, sirree. And you take this Comet model Piper Cub home, build it after you've done that good turn. Tell me, are you a tenderfoot?
No. Second class.
Oh, you're a second class. Well, that's good. Now, let's see. First class comes next, doesn't it?
I'm almost.
Are you almost a first class? What else do you have to do?
I'm going up for the next board review.
Well, good, and good luck to you. I hope you make it. Come back again. Pilots, remember that loyalty is a wonderful thing. Small people are big people when they're loyal. Come down to the ready room next Saturday morning if you can. I'd like to meet you. If you can't come down, be sure you're listening at 10. Be good kids, and until next Saturday... So long, pilots!
Well, pilots, we'll close the ready room doors on another meeting of Uncle Ned's squadron. If you haven't joined the squadron yet, be sure to do so today so that you can be an official cadet pilot and get in on all the squadron activities. You send us your name, address, age, and phone number on a penny postcard, and we'll see to it that you're officially enrolled as a cadet pilot in the squadron. You'll get a swell membership card that fits in your billfold or purse that identifies you as an aviation expert. Remember that we can only call official members on our weekly telephone call. So get your name on our phone list for a chance at that call. Be sure your radio is tuned to the 670 spot on the dial next Saturday morning at 10 when the ready room doors open again on another meeting of Uncle Ned's Squadron. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.